Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is February 23rd, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have our guest, Mr. Roger Hayward, out of Gary, Indiana, and he's going to tell us why he moved to Gary, Indiana in the first place. And then with the business that he does there, he also helps ex-felons get back on their feet and hoping to help them retain their job positions. So we will hear from him in just a couple of minutes. Before we introduce him, I'd like to introduce Boyd to the show.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to say thank you all for tuning in every Wednesday night with me and the missus to bring real to you and bring real people and real things and real changes to your life and your household. And we definitely have a great show tonight, and we're not going to delay it no further. You know, we're going to ask my man, what's up, Mr. Roger, how are you tonight?
Hey, Brother Rob, Lucinda, how you doing over there in Cincinnati, Ohio?
That's great.
We just want you to bring it to the table and formally introduce yourself, and let's get the show on the road.
All right, brother, appreciate that. Hey, you guys, really thank you for letting me, be a part of this thing. First of all, I just want to shout out to you guys. You know, you're over there doing it. I see you doing it with your, with your book, The Streets Don't Love You Back and Never Hit a Woman. I did get a copy of Streets Don't Love You Back, and I got to be honest, I did not get through the book yet. There's a lot of stuff in there, but I'm looking forward to finishing that book up over there on Lulu. You got it priced right. I mean, even I can afford it, and I give everything away. Okay, so I just want to thank you for that and shout out for your work. But, yeah, guys, my name is Roger Hayward. I'm a founder of a program called It's Gary's Time. I guess how I started this was about 3 years ago. I was still living in Pennsylvania, and I bought a home for $1,000 in Gary, Indiana. And I immediately thought, wow, this is there's something wrong with this picture here. I never really heard or paid much attention to Gary, Indiana. And until I bought this house, I've been in and around real estate and construction for about probably 25 years or so. Better part of those in a drunken stupor and caught up in addiction to meth and coke and pretty much anything that was available and easy for me. But the years that I was coherent, if you will, I was doing some real estate investing and buying and selling and things like that. So we ended up with this house for $1,000, and I had a realtor involved. His name's John Shupp over here in Lowell, Indiana. And I says, well, John, I got a $1,000 house. What do you do with it? He says, well, I hope you bought it to sell it. And so I thought, well, that is why we bought it, and, to sell it. And it was a business venture kind of thing. So I started to bring some outside investors in to buy these properties. As I saw the prices were, $2,000-$3,000. I thought there's something pretty seriously wrong here. So I actually drove from Pennsylvania. I don't fly, so I just drive. I drove over to get a look firsthand at what was going on. When I got here, it just ripped my heart out, guys. I strolled down Vermont Street, and there was this house. You can actually see the house. It's still on the website. If you don't mind, I mention the website name, guys.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, my brother.
Yeah. Well, the house that I saw that brought me to Gary, Indiana, is on my website there at garystime.com. That's GarysTime.com. And there was this, God knows who was sitting on the porch, man. And there were these two girls kicking this dirty old ball back and forth, and they were literally sharing a pair of shoes. And I started crying. I just stopped in my tracks and I thought, what the heck? And it was one of them snot-nosed cries. You feel me? I mean, it was like, you know, serious. It's a good cleansing cry, but you know, the God I serve, praise God, the God I serve says, you know, quit your whining, Roger. If you want to do something about it, you know, get over there. So, yeah. So for the next 6 months or so, maybe a little bit longer, I kept buying properties and I kept driving back and forth from Pennsylvania to set up ground crews and give people some work, boarding up properties and showing properties and stuff like that, and help folks get into homes that couldn't otherwise afford them by setting up, you know, payment terms and stuff with, you know, investors that were buying the properties. And I would sell them on a land contract because no one in this economy could get money. And it was rolling along pretty good. And finally I said to my partner, I says, well, you know, it's time to get to Gary. So that's what I did. I packed everything up in a couple trucks and came over here to the Gary area. I don't live in Gary specifically. I live outside of Gary in Lowell. You know, here I am. Part of the vision from the beginning, guys, and again, this is all on the website, was to involve IDOC, Department of Corrections, Indiana Department of Corrections workers to get involved in the cleanup of Gary, Indiana. It's been a challenge at best. You know, when I first got here, I went downstate to talk to the folks down there and, you know, threw my plan at them, and they pretty much jumped on board right away. So I thought, well, okay, this is pretty cool. It's going to be easy. It's going to be a cakewalk. Well, I got up here to Gary and found it to be a little bit different climate with all the properties that are available up here. It's real hard for, I guess, maybe Gary proper to have a good plan, you know, to remediate these properties. I threw a couple plans at him. Some of it's been received, some of it's been rejected, but I kept doing my thing and buying these properties up and trying to make them available for folks that could afford to, you know, fix them up and live in them and pay a, you know, small monthly payment. I think I probably got about 7 or 8 folks into homes now. They're actually, they completed the program and they are homeowners now. It's a good thing. Those properties are back producing taxes in Lake County here. But then it was time to kick it up a notch as I was starting to feel my way through and realize, you know, who can I trust over here? You know, here I am, you know, a guy from Allentown area, Pennsylvania, cruising over to Gary, Indiana, of all places, thinking, you know, he's the great savior. But that really wasn't my, you know, that wasn't my thought. You know, I like to think I'm a pretty humble guy, and but I had to get some people on board I could trust, and that wasn't the easiest thing to do. A lot of people have their own agendas, they have their own motives. We got a pretty good divide going on over here, folks. Some folks don't want to trust real fast. I don't know a whole lot about the history, but I understand that you know, folks are burning pretty good over here. So what I did was just try to be a real guy, straight shooter, transparent, and let people know, you know, why I'm here. So I decided it's time to, like I said earlier, you know, kick it up a notch here, if you will. And I started reaching out to the IDOC. I had a meeting down in Indianapolis with him. And he was Chief Buss at the time. Now he's, Commissioner Buss. I believe he's moved on to another position now, and then Chief of Staff Dan Roney at the meeting, and Kevin Orm, Director of Construction. I had a very good meeting down there and invited them to come up to Gary to see firsthand what was going on. That was about 3 weeks prior to their Gary visit, and in the meantime, I was just connecting with people who were movers and shakers, basically. Then they came up to Gary, And we had a really, really good meeting up here, and they agreed to, you know, to basically get on board with me. So from there, I was able to visit, you know, with the clout, if you will, of the IDOC. I was able to visit with the Kimbrough Work Release and Workforce Development Center over here in Crown Point, Indiana. And I went in and started a program where I want to provide some training for the men, because you know, these men are challenged right out of the gate. You know, no doubt they did something stupid. You know, I did a lot of stupid things being incarcerated myself, in and out of prison for, you know, several years. My last visit was about 9 years ago. Praise God, I've been okay since then. So one of the challenges these men face is I don't believe that they have the tools, you know, necessary that when they come out and hit the streets, you know, what do we do now? You know, they have got an automatic blemish on them. You know, for whatever reason, whatever their crime, you know, their lockdown. And that's one of the first things that they got to pass. They got to pass a background check. So these a lot of the employers, you know, they hold that against them right out of the gate. You know, no, don't, you know, they don't let me get near them, or don't let them work for me. Let's not give them a chance. You know, they'd rather see them, you know, revert to what is natural to some of them, and that's basically survival mode, guys. So, you know, I believe that you need to, I believe you need to teach a man a fish rather than give him one, you know, so that he can sustain himself when he's on the outside. So I got into memorandum of understanding with the Kimbrough Center and decided that I was going to provide some training first out of the gate. And that's what I did. The first piece was took 10 men. I interviewed and screened, oh, probably a couple dozen at the very least. I've been spending weeks over there on end now since I started this whole thing. I go over at least twice a week, and I picked up the men one morning. I went and rented a van at Enterprise and took 10 men. Now check that out. I'm about 5'9", maybe 180 pounds if I'm real wet, and I got 10 pretty good-sized guys in this van cruising over to, you know, a training center about 6 o'clock in the morning, and got them in there, and these guys were the absolute best class. Safety Training Services in Hammond, Indiana. You know, I sponsored the training in, with their cooperation to get the men trained. And the folks at the safety training said this is the best class that they really have ever had because the interaction, the men were really curious. They wanted to learn. It was such an awesome thing. So at the end of the day, they got their certificates. And from there, I had purchased about 8 houses. My plans are to use them as project houses, you know, for the men to start working on and learning a little bit about, you know, carpentry, a little bit about roofing, maybe some siding, and whatever goes along with job construction. But I wanted to have the safety training first because I thought that was important. That, you know, whether they stay with me or not, there's no catch. Just because I got them trained and I got them OSHA trained, that doesn't mean that they're stuck to me by any stretch. You know, if they can better themselves and get something going on, you know, that's what this is about. And that was the reason behind the training piece, guys. So just the other day, the OSHA 10 cards showed up, and I'm planning a kind of a presentation for the men. But let me back up just a little bit. My plans were with one of the properties to get the men out, and the son of a gun caught fire, the one I was going to start them on, caught on fire. And so that kind of put me back a little bit, but it was kind of a blessing, you know, in disguise, because what I did with that was is I reached out to some contractors in the area, and I said, you know, how would you like to have some pre-screened OSHA 10 safety trained, you know, daily workers or even permanent employees, you know, to work for you? And it wasn't a real easy sell, but I did get one so far. Well, actually, well, two. The second guy hasn't used anybody yet, but he's on board. to get on board, and I created a work order for this company, a clean sweep maintenance over here in Gary. And I've been going over to pick up men per the work orders generated by this company, picking up men that I screened and that are safety trained. And I'll pick them up in the morning a couple days a week, take them over for a few hours, get them a few hours outside and get them a little bit of experience, a couple bucks for their books, you know, whatever. Maybe pay their daily living fee if there's enough. But this is all just starting. It's just starting to unwind, and I see it going some pretty amazing places. As long as we're able to just you know, keep doing what we're doing. So next Friday, March 4th. Oops, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just congratulating you on that. You know, that's a great thing.
Well, you know, the praise belongs to God, my brother, okay? Because if it was me, I'd be smoking a pipe under a bridge somewhere. Trust me when I tell you, all right? Straight up, you know, this really isn't about me. It's about getting the men outside and getting folks to look at them different, man, because, you know, they stuck, okay? You know, and I'm not trying to minimize it. You know, we did stupid crap, and, you know, we get locked up, and, you know, we take care of our business, but then we come out, and it's like, okay, now what? You know, I did what I had to do when I was in jail. When I come out, by the grace of God, I had some people, some accountability people, and I followed up with them. You know, I stayed close to winners.
Oh, man.
You know, I dodged the losers, and I was able to do, you know, one day at a time, you know, next thing after the next right thing, I call it when I talk to the men. You know, it's real simple. Just do the next right thing, you know, kick the liar out of your head. He's toothless, and he got no gumption. You don't belong with you. Kick him out of the way. And just do the next right thing. If that means pick up the phone and talk to your Aunt Susie over in Jamaica or over in California or wherever, you know, do that, you know, as opposed to reoffending. And it just made a lot of sense for me. It just made a lot of sense for me, you know, to do that. So I have an event planned next Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to get the men's cards laminated for them. And I have the publisher of the Northwest Indiana Times. He's going to be the presenter. To present these men their cards. I got a couple speakers coming, a couple of mayors, the Gary Mayor. I've invited him. I haven't given him the date yet, but according to his publicist, he's on board, and I invited the Crown Point Mayor this morning, and like I said, the published Times, and then a couple of the other movers and shakers and people from Kimbrough and IDOC. So we want to show these men that, you know, this ain't no small thing. This is an accomplishment. They, you know, they really... You know, they had to do a couple things to get the training. They had to fill out a couple pieces of paper for me, not just little pieces of paper, you know. They had to take a couple of steps is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, they chose to take steps. They chose to put up with me. They chose to come to the training. You know, I couldn't do it without these guys. So that's what I want to do. I want to show the general public somehow that, you know, there's nothing wrong with these guys. You know, yeah, they screwed up, but, you know, who didn't, okay? You know, let's get them outside. Let's give them a shot, okay? And if they mess up, then, you know, then you know. But until you know, you don't know. You know, so let's not be judging them. Let's not be holding what they did stupid against them. You know, let's give them a shot at getting out there, you know. If we got any, you know, listeners going on right now that might be interested in learning about what I'm doing, you can reach me at roger@garystime.com. That's my email, roger@garystime.com. And I'll be glad to share with you what I'm doing and how you can make it work where you're at. It's a good feeling, and it's what I live for today, and it's what I know I'm here for today. I know, you know, that God said, get up out of Pennsylvania in your comfy little zone, get out there and make a difference. So that's the nutshell version, guys.
Well, that's what's happening. That's what's happening, though, Roger, you know. And we also wanted to ask you, Roger, if you can just back up a few steps a little bit and let the viewers know how you got yourself involved in bad things and how you eventually straightened your game hand up. You know, speak on that a little bit to the public to understand you.
I'm sorry. Run that by me again there, Rob.
I said speak to the public on how you was messing your life up and eventually went away and finally got your life together. I wanted them to get a perspective of where Roger come from.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, you know what? I just have one of my guys actually call my phone. Would you mind if I click over and got him on the line too? Would you mind? It'll take me just a minute, or is now not
go
a good time?
Well, go ahead. While you do that, I'm just going to read something here real quick.
Okay, it'll take me just a minute. I'll get him on the other line. Stand by.
Okay. Something I got off the Internet today, and it says that ex-offenders, including anyone with a record of arrest, conviction, or imprisonment, and anyone who has ever been on probation or parole are at-risk job applicants. But when you combine all these figures for the U.S. inmate population and the offender population in the free community who are now on probation or parole, the total number of persons under correctional supervision approaches 7 million individuals. So that's one per every 32 U.S. adults have either been incarcerated or on probation or parole. More than 600,000 inmates are released from jail or prison annually, and past experiences show that 67% of them will return to crime and incarceration within 3 years of their release. And a lot of it has to do with them not being able to find employment and returning to illegal activity. So that's a lot of people.
Sure is. Lucinda, I have on the other line. If you don't mind, I'm not sure how long Floyd has. So if you want to ask him some questions about our program or whatever some of the challenges he's being faced with, I have on the line here Floyd Esco. He was just released from prison about a week or so ago, and he's out there doing it. I had him out for a couple hours on a couple of details, and he's gone through the training with the men, and I'll just cut him loose. Floyd,
what's
go ahead,
his name?
Man.
Floyd.
Floyd, you
welcome
there?
Welcome to the show, Floyd.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Doing good. So tell us, is this your first time being incarcerated and getting out, or have you kind of been in and out, or what's your history?
I've been in and out.
In and out. So what do you find is the biggest challenge after being released from prison and trying to find a job?
I'm trying to make it work with Gary Towns and the whole bunch of young kids.
Hey, yo, let's go.
You know what we mean? Who is that, Ron?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Ron.
All right, hey, I'm here. I got you.
How's you?
Okay, go ahead. Talk to Lucinda for a while, brother.
All right.
Tell us what the hardest thing is when you get out of prison and when you're trying to find a job. I mean, what kind of things do you run into?
You run into a whole lot. But we know we can do it.
There you go.
We just got to show you what we can do. And let them know they can do the same thing. Because, see, they say it's hard to get a job. It's not hard. All you got to do is go out there and show them what you know. It's easy.
Right.
Yeah.
We wish you a lot of luck working with Gary's time and his program, and we hope that it helps a lot of people.
Yeah.
Rob?
Go ahead, Floyd. I'm sorry.
I say Gary Tan came to us and told us that he has some houses to be made, to fix up, rehab. You know what I mean? People that ain't got no places to go or none of that. We can fix the house up for the ones coming out, but all they got to do is show them that they can work and build this. That's why we got a song that say, we know we can.
Yeah.
Ain't no such thing as you can't.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's the honest God truth. And I love that. I told him I'm going to stick with him to the end. And I got out myself. And I've been calling him, waiting on him.
Right.
We good.
Good.
All right. What do we got here?
Huh?
What's next there, Lucinda?
Rob, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I was just listening to everybody's
any questions for
time.
Floyd or anything?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say, it's a good thing that you come home and think it on a positive level, and you at least giving yourself a chance and showing yourself that it could be did, because self-preservation is first nature of law. You have to show self and others will see, so that's real cool that you come home with the right frame of mind. That's first of all.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think we got some other callers online for you, Roger, that's on the line that might want to ask you some questions. We got last four digits, 0598 in the house.
That's Lisa. She'll press 1 when she's ready.
Okay.
Let's go up to the 1032. The telephone number with the last four digits, 1032. You're on the air.
Yes, it's Jermaine Palmer, and I'm
Hey, my man Jermaine.
What's up,
boy?
What's up, Esco? What's up?
We make it. I know that we can.
I'm one of the members that was part of the Gary time. And they went through the training service at in Hammond as well. And also I was, at the Kimbrough Center too, where I met Gary, he interviewed me. But prior to me coming to the Kimbrough Center, I was incarcerated for 18 years. I've been to 6 facilities, throughout the state of Indiana. And I'm also from Gary, Indiana as well. And but during my time as in incarceration, I was able to get my life together and change myself around by, getting my associate's degree and my bachelor's degree from Ball State University. So when I got done with college, I was able to get my 4-year time cut. Then I happened to come to the Kimbrough Center this past December.
Great guy.
That's when I met Roger. I heard about what he was starting up, and I wanted to be a part of that because what he was focusing on doing, I had that same aspiration as well by getting into real estate. Fixing up houses because, like he said, since I've been out since January the 26th, and I'm on daily reporting that, and I get out when I report. But as I've been rolling through Gary, I have been seeing a lot of abandoned houses as well, and it's a whole lot of them. So I had already had that mindset that I was going to do the same thing that he was doing. And like I told him, whether he hired me or not, I'm going to still do what he's doing anyway because that's what I like to do anyway, And, Yeah, so that was part of me to let him know to give me an opportunity because, I ain't never had that opportunity because I've been incarcerated since I was 21 years old. And now that I'm 39 years old, finna be 40 years old next month, I just wanted somebody to believe in me and give me an opportunity because I never had that growing up, without a father figure, I'm out in the streets, roaming in the streets and stuff like that. So that the streets became my home. So as I went through my transition by being incarcerated, I was able to get myself together, rehabilitate my own self. You got to rehabilitate yourself because the prison system is not going to do it for you. So I was able to do that. And this is where I'm at today. This is where I'm at today to focus on my second chance. Like he said too, I just want somebody to give me an opportunity. And he gave me a start. Now it's time for me to take the ball and run with it. And that's what I plan on doing. And that's what I'm going to do. That's why I'm here with him, and I got my certificate as well, and I'll be at the service. Presentation to get my card and everything. And so I'm sitting here right now on the couch, just relaxing and listening to y'all speak. And I just want to let you know I'm a member of that of the Gary Times, and I'm an employee of that, and I'm gonna be with him too.
Come on,
that's what's up, man. We appreciate you coming on the air, man, and bringing that out. And, we want to give big ups to you for stepping down. And, one of my homeboys just stepped down too as well last Thursday. after 18 calendars too. So
okay,
you know,
yeah.
So my other homeboy did 22. So yeah, man, everybody's coming home trying to do that positive thing. You know what I mean? Cause like you said, you done did, you know what I mean, 18 calendars, and you ain't even had to transition to even knew what was really happening out here. You visualize it and you see certain things in there, but until you touch ground, you just visualizing, you know?
Yep.
So that's
yep.
a cool thing that you come home and you jumped into something that's positive, because that's what it's about, man. Because at the end of the day, we all know the streets definitely don't love us back, period, you know?
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
And, If I might just chime in here real quick, actually, Esco, you still with us? Okay.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Esco and Jermaine, whenever I did your initial interviews, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but we talked about another piece of this whole plan, Rob. I've been contacted. Well, actually, I reached out first, but she reached out back to me now, the juvenile justice of Lake County, Miss Bonaventura, the Honorable Mary Beth Bonaventura has reached back to me now, and I'm in the process of putting together a piece called, I'm calling it the Child of the Offender, because I believe that this is another piece, and then the juveniles that are actually, you know, detained for, you know, whatever reason, you know, could be looking cross-eyed at a teacher, whatever, they come in, scoop them up quick and throw them in the detention center, and I think doing that, we can give them some alternative sentences. So these two men that are on the line right now have agreed to help me with that program there, Rob, where I'm going to be proposing to the judge that we allow these kids to come out and work side by side with a couple of these guys that actually been down, you know, for some time, and they, you know, hopes that they can lay some stuff on their little ears that might help them turn their mind around a little bit. So that's another piece that we're looking forward to, and it's all in the mix here. So I just want to applaud these men for wanting to help me with that as too. You know, so that's another big positive. And it's all about, like you said, Rob, you know, coming out, hit the ground running and do the positive things. And I call it the next right thing, but you said it better, by the positive things that can keep these men headed in the right direction. You know, and if it just means
stopping
on the street.
Once you've been down for some years, man, you know, it's like, you know, if you went in at 21 years old, the game stopped at 21. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody else still out here shaking and moving. You know what I mean? So if a guy went in and joined at 21 and he was a hustler or whatever have you, well, when he stepped back out the gate, he thinking about what we were doing at that moment, because that's where his lifeline got cut, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where we have to get him back all the way up to speed in the game. You feel me? That this stuff flipped over a million times, you know what I mean, since 73, you know? And
that's
why it's great to work with guys who's been down, because even though they're in the joint, they see different things and different things shaking and moving in the joint, they still ain't moving out here in society, and that's the key where the whole society and the prison system get divided right there, you know, because the guy might be 50, but he went in at 21, he ain't all up to speed of what you're talking about on your 50 level, you know what I mean? Because he's been in the 50 level of the prison system, 50 level, you know? So shout-outs to y'all, man, for just coming and stepping into something positive, you know, that can keep the ball ticking in the right direction of life, you know. So we want to give y'all the big ups here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show tonight.
All right.
Old Gary. Man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. You guys hang on just one second. Rob, we have Lisa on the line now, and we want to give her the opportunity to talk to Gary or any of the other men on the phone.
Okay,
Lisa, are you there? Lisa, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I know we can.
Yeah. You know that we can make it, baby.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Praise God.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we hear.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Lucinda. What's going on, baby girl?
Hey, we're doing good.
Good.
How are you?
We straight. Mr. Gary Times and Mr. Roger, listen, I need you all down in the ATL.
We can do that.
Okay, when you find out who I am and what I represent, I've been locked up. I did county time. I didn't do prison time. but I got a show that I do, Incarceration to Incorporation. Robin Lucinda's movement, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and I have a domestic violence show, Never Hit a Woman. So, with that being said, so now you got you talking to a Newark girl. From Newark. So I'm from the hood. And I relocated down here a year ago, and I got word on the street, Urban Literary Festival going on March 12th at the North Atlanta Trade Center for all nothing but African American writers. I've got talk show hosts. I've got the Word on the Street Urban Bookstore open up in, Buckhead? Yeah, Buckhead, in April. So tell me about some. And this is someone that was locked up in the county. Now, you come out. Now, I was blessed because I got a master's from Princeton. I'm an accountant. I was blessed. I was always able to get a job every time I came out of county. But I look at all my homeboys that got little type of charges and can't get a job. They all know construction. Shoot, they'll come over here and fix something for me quick as hell. All I got to do is make a phone call and they'll be here in a minute because I cook, but that's another story. But anyway, but for real, listen, you heard that? I heard her giggle. But for real, on some strength, we need this program down in Atlanta because there are so many that are locked up and they come out and they just sit there. Like, they got to get on welfare. They got to get food stamps.
We don't need that. How about it, man? Do we need welfare?
No.
I know that we can make it.
We need a job.
But guess what? One of the things.
Exactly.
But here's the problem. Everybody on the application asks, within the last 5 years, have you been convicted? Now, if you lie and say no, they're going to find out anyway, especially down in Georgia. Up north in Jersey and all that, they don't even bother checking your records. They don't.
Right.
Down here,
right,
they run a criminal, a background, Social Security, a renter's, a credit report, for you just to get what? A job to pay $7 an hour as a cashier in Home Depot? Motherfucker, please. Okay.
This is one of the things that the Gary's Time program is trying to change the perception, number one, of the general public and the employers out there, Lisa. And then the other, how we're doing that is, through the screening. I personally screen them in. I have a pretty good interview. I don't know, guys, our interviews probably lasted at least a half an hour on the first piece and another half an hour, and then a couple of personal presentations with the group. And I got another financial advisor involved here that's teaching the men a little bit about wealth building and how to spend your money once you get your money, what to do with it, these kinds of things. But to be able to offer to the employer a pre-screened, safety-trained, daily or full-time employee is a piece that we're building here in Gary, Indiana. And, man, I'll tell you, guys, I told you that this is something that could go pretty far as long as we just keep doing what we're doing. So yeah.
Hey, Gary, let me ask you. I had a gal comment on my Facebook earlier about the program tonight, and she said that she didn't feel that there were as many programs for women as men. And
Yes.
So what,
thank
I
you.
Mean,
that's,
can you
that's
say
funny
about
that,
that and would you hire women?
Absolutely. I have I had an appointment set up with Yvonne Bryant, who is the women's coordinator director at the Kimbrough Center, and that appointment was actually set when we got hit with that blizzard, and I was going to go in there at 10 o'clock and do the exact 10 o'clock in the morning. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was set, and offer the exact same program. So yes, it's going to be absolutely the same thing, and I do have plans for the women. And thank you for asking that, and thank your poster. That put that up there for keeping that fresh in my mind, but I have plans to take the exact same thing, and actually I have Jezara Bradley from Gary. She's an educator here in Gary. She's going to come in and help me with that.
That's my girl. Jezara is not. She's not playing. She ain't no joke. Jezara is no joke. She is my girl. a lot of things that I do, that girl promotes me because she sees how hard I grind and what I do for everybody. But, yeah, we got to give a shout-out to her. And Desire, we love you, girl. Oh, my God, we love her. But
Desire. That's Desire. I don't think you know her, Esco.
Desire Bradley.
She's a teacher over here at Westside High School in Gary. And she's on board with me to go in to present to the women because I don't feel right, you know, me being the presenter to the women, you know, although I can present my piece, but I need to have a woman there, you know, just for obvious reasons. You know.
That's true.
It's all time.
But
that's why I'm trying to tell you.
Yep.
Now let me ask you something else on the strength. Oh my God, I hate even calling it out like this, but we all got the same title, the felons. We all come out.
That's me.
And then that's me. Okay, I got a felon title. Okay, we all spun it around. But what the thing is that gets me aggravated is we still got that damn title. How do we get rid of that? I mean, we're proud of it, and we did it. And, yeah, we paid our time. We did the crime. We paid the time. But how do we get over that hump that people will let us in? Like, it's like homosexuality. It's like domestic violence. Like, I do shows on everything. But it's just like domestic violence, homosexuality. How in 2011 do we get over this?
Okay,
like,
well,
we're not bad people.
Can I speak on that a little bit?
Please.
I'm sorry?
Can I speak on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Jimmy.
We can never get over it. But what we can do is we can stay positive and show people, you know, what we're doing, you know, so they won't stereotype us, you know, by us having that felony. So, you know, as long as we create something that's positive, to put in their mind that he's doing the right thing now, then maybe we can, you know, they'll shy away from that felony. But, no, we can never get over it, but we can show people that we have changed by our actions and our words, and we stick to what we say, what we do, mean what we say what we mean, then we should be able to be, we'll be all right in that aspect, but we'll never be able to get over the felony part because, you know, you're going to always have them, I consider them haters out there, to always want to say something bad, a negativity about you. But as long as you stick to your script and stay positive, then, you know, they're going to keep on hating regardless. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing and keep on moving. So, you know, the felony will never go away on me, you know. You know, I wish it could, but it can't. But I'm going to keep on moving and don't let nobody get in my way to what I got to do and pursue my vision.
Right, and that's where we have to just continue educating, because you know, a lot of people in prison, there's people out here doing the same darn things. They're just not getting in trouble for it. They just haven't gotten found out yet. You know, there's people out here addicted to all kinds of things. They're doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they're not behind bars. People need to quit judging. Everybody makes mistakes, and a lot of times, you know, the people that are in jail, you know, did things growing up that's all they knew. They didn't know it was right or wrong. That's just all they knew. And there's people in prison that got in a circumstance that just got caught up, and that's how it ended up. I mean, there's all kinds of people in prison that shouldn't be there.
Right.
But they're there.
Linda,
you know, there's drug
dealers
in prison for life and murderers out in 15 years. You know, what makes sense with that?
Lucinda, let me give you an example. I have an author that's in prison in Indiana, right where y'all is from, right from Gary, Indiana. He's in the prison. He's in the state prison, got 35 years to life for 2 ounces of coke. What the hell type of shit does that make? You got murderers out there that get off on 15 years.
Exactly.
Right.
That's
one thing we need to work on.
Let's go. See, here goes number one. If it's hard, you're going to get time. If it's salty, you ain't going to get no time.
Right.
Just like down here in Georgia, I call it out hard as hell.
It's the
Gwinnett County, where I live in Georgia, they get DWB, driving while black. They just get locked up.
Exactly.
Then you go to Cobb County.
Chicago,
you go to Cobb County. look, you get go to Cobb County. Okay, wait. They all got cells in jail, please.
Get an app bomb.
Okay, they all got cells in jail. I get the calls all day. But listen to me. Then you get to another county in Georgia called Cobb County, C-O-B-B. We call that count on being busted. Straight up.
Count on
they don't even care. You could, yeah, count on being busted, Cobb County. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and back up north in Newark, look, if you're driving on a suspended, all you're going to get is a ticket and tell you to show up in court, and maybe 6 months later you might get a court date. Down here, they ain't no joke. You better know that when you get pulled over for whatever reason they can find it to be, you going to jail because they want that money.
Right.
And this is why I get so aggravated.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to chime in here for a minute. I hear what you're saying there, Lisa, and for real, you know, all these, you know, count on being busted, and if you get caught doing this, you know. Well, the bottom line is, you know, if you're doing something stupid, you know, and you get caught, you know, you got to take care of it. You know, for me at least, you know, you asked the question, how do we get rid of that felon thing there? For me, it was just like Tremaine said, you know, you get out one day at a time, and, you know, a week at a time, a month at a time turns into 2 months, turns into a year. And for me, it turned into 9 years, praise God, you know, that I was able to do the right things. But I do think about, you know, those things that I used to do. But, you know, today I don't do them. I believe that the laws are in place for a reason. You know, are they fair? Oh, gosh, who's to say? But, you know, on the other side of the coin, if there were no laws, you know, think about where we might be. But I definitely feel you as far as, you know, someone getting slapped on the hand for the same thing, getting locked up down in another place. Now, is that right? I don't know if I can justify that or not.
No, because you can't.
You know,
they might slap his hand and then they might hang you. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You could piss the judge off and the next man and everybody behind him might get all that fucking time.
Right.
Now let me give you a situation. Let me give you a situation where it's
who
about
is
race.
Lisa?
Yeah, it's
is Lisa.
Lisa. Yeah,
okay,
I'm going to just keep running my mouth.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
listen to this.
I want to hear you out.
Okay, my brother driving my car. My brother got my car. He had two little dime bags of weed in my car. They pulled him over for whatever, not using a blinker or whatever. This is in Newark, okay? They pulled him over in Newark, New Jersey.
Damn, Miller. Okay,
I'm in Atlanta now, but this was back in Newark when I lived in Newark. They pulled him over. And he was looking at 8 years for two dime bags because he had a rap sheet, just a little rap sheet, okay? He came out of prison after 8 years, got full custody of both my nieces, has had supervisor position at Newark Sanitation, swear up on everything. So he looking at 8 years to go back on two dime bags of weed. So here I come.
Okay.
Now, wait,
yeah.
Listen.
Okay.
Here I come.
Go
I go down to the sheriff's department.
Listen
I said,
me.
Wait,
two
let me finish.
Bags of weed. Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
please.
So now
here
I come to the sheriff's department, and I said, yo, that's my car. He didn't know the weed was in my car. Now, everybody and their brother knows I don't smoke no weed. But I walked up in there like, what you going to do now? That's not his weed. That's my weed. And they was like, oh, so you're going to take it for him? I said, I'm going to take it for him. Man, please, are you kidding me? I walked into that courtroom. They looked at me being white. Oh, yeah, you didn't know that. But, yeah, looked at me being white and said, oh, just give her 60 days. Just give her 60 days. No, my bad. That's a lot. That was 90 days. I did 54 on a 90 in the county.
Okay.
Okay, now, mind you, the little girl that went behind me was black. She stole $108 on somebody's credit card, her auntie's credit card or something. She didn't have no type of rap sheet, no type of nothing. This little girl got 180-day flat. So you tell me where racism comes in. You tell me where the felony comes in. That little girl got a felony charge.
Hello, she got it dropped?
No, she didn't get it dropped. She did 180 days flat, straight straight up, 180.
But
no.
Or fraud. Which one was it? Theft or fraud?
That was for the credit card fraud. She got $180.
Yeah, for $108.
$108. She got 180 days, and Lisa got 60 days reduced.
I'm gonna tell you why they charge it like that. They charge her for every dollar.
Right.
You see what I'm saying, Lisa?
All right, well, now let me tell you something else. Let me tell you what my hold up.
Every doc.
Okay, and
when
let me tell you something else.
Like that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, my original charge for my felony was stealing from my company, $37,000 over a year's time because my black husband was beating me. He was a crackhead. I didn't know. He was beating me to steal the money. So with going through everything I was going through, 2 years of it, I sold the $37,000 for my job. Why only got 90 days on that? And did 54
you know
days because of my color.
No, it ain't your color. I'm going to
yes,
tell you why you got 90 days. No, it ain't.
Oh, yes, it is, because I was
already,
in an all-white community.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you why you got 90 days. I'm a black man, too.
No, she's a white girl, though, Esco. Go
she's
ahead.
She's a white girl. I'm a black man. But
okay.
A black man beat you.
They didn't know that, though.
Here, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you what they think. That black man beat you. You told it to the judge, or however.
No,
the
I didn't.
Say, okay.
Well, no,
see,
the hell I
why
didn't.
You
don't
black
understand.
Man? But why you say black man?
Because I'm trying to explain to you where I was coming from. Where I was coming from. Okay?
Okay, where you was coming from, you said, like your boyfriend beat you.
It was my husband.
Okay, it was your husband. Still, that's the same thing. He black. You white.
But
you stole the money. You stole the money, not him.
Exactly. But look, you're not understanding
my
point. Understand my point of the whole matter is if anybody else in any other race would have done what I did, they would have gotten years and years and years and years. I walked into that courtroom and I'm trying to. Go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I believe that.
Lisa, I'm going to be honest with you. That's a fraud case. You know the fraud kid? Do you know what it carries?
Do I know what?
Hello?
I'm here.
I said, do you know what a fraud case carries?
A fraud case.
Yeah. 5 years minimum.
What it carries?
5 years minimum.
Can't do five? Let's see, they can start you anywhere from 10. And you can go from 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All depends on what you've done. And all depends on how much money you get. Because they could turn that 10 into federal. You understand? That's a fraud.
Well,
I'm messing with the state. You fucking with the government. When you're doing fraud, you fucking with the government. I know this. This Esco. You see what I'm saying? I know what I'm talking about.
Okay, this was back in 99, okay? Now, this is what my point was getting to about the felony charges and how we don't get rid of the label. When I moved back down here to Georgia, I went to this apartment complex. I went through everything with them, you know, put my credit report in. Everything was accepted. Then they got my felony report. It's been 10 damn years. Do you know why I couldn't move into that apartment complex? Because I had death by deception.
You know why?
After 10 years.
Do you know why you can't move in there? See, people think they get rid of that felony after 10 years. They don't. That felony follows you every fucking where you go. That screws my language. But that carries. Anywhere you go, all United States, that felony going to pop up. They punch your social security number, your felony going to show. one, two, three, four, five, or however many you got, it's going to pop up. See what I'm saying?
But how about the resident manager approved me, the management company approved me, it was the district manager that said I couldn't move in there.
Okay. Because the rest of them
put in somebody else's name.
Exactly.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I heard that one time, and I'll still break it down to her, but tell her one more time for me.
You could have put that in somebody else's name.
Thanks.
That's the way. By us being felons, we got to figure out the loopholes.
Okay, well, now I got a real landlord.
Yeah.
I got a real landlord. I got a private landlord, and that's something you need to know when you're in Georgia. Get you a private landlord, because down in Georgia, they don't play.
Okay.
And my landlord cool as hell. Give him props up. Rich, we love you.
Yeah, because, you know, there's ways to do things in life, you know, even though we felonies, but we just got to, you know, put things in other people's name and, you know, allow them to be our co-signers to get around, you know, the felony part, the aspect of it. So what you do is, you know, when somebody else do you a favor, you got to make sure you honor that. You know, pay your bills on time, pay your rent on time, because you don't want to mess their credit up in the
right.
process.
Okay, well,
how about people that don't even want to deal with that because of that, because then it falls back on them if something happens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
See, me personally, you got to...
I've been the one that has has put the stuff in my name for people and gotten burnt. So,
okay, what I'm saying is,
listen to calling it out.
Okay, I understand that. I understand. What you got to do is you got to deal with somebody that believe in you, believe in what you're trying to do. And my thing is, by you got to have a good support group. You know, me personally, I have my mom and my auntie, so they know what I'm on. They know that I'm on some conscious stuff. So if I need them to help me get some, then I know I can go on. I can rely on them. But also, I got to honor my end of the bargain too, because I'm not gonna mess they. Line of credit up when they sticking their neck out for me. So I got to be on my P's and Q's as well to make sure, you know, they credit stuff, they credit report is straight.
Let me jump in real quick here. What I'm hearing, Jermaine, and you want to be real careful, brother, okay, because part of what you're talking about now, I feel what you're saying for real, okay, it's kind of like, okay, this is what we got to do, you know, to get where we want to be, okay, tomorrow, okay? But that is the thinking that got us, you know, where we was yesterday. You feel me?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, so I feel you. I understand what you're saying.
There's a little bit of survival, and stop me if I'm wrong, and I know you're a real smart man, but there's a little bit of survival. I'm hearing a little bit of survival, get what I want and when I want it, and I'm hearing a little just a little bit of, you know, potential criminality in there.
No, that's
okay.
Not no criminality. She's talking about, about an apartment.
Not necessarily criminality.
She's talking about her part and what she did.
Yeah, talking about an apartment. We ain't talking
about
no criminality.
About.
I'm talking about if you the apartment is somebody, you can put somebody and get it for you. And you just, you know, that's all that is. By, you know, by her trying to get an apartment complex, they wouldn't accept her because she had a felony.
I got you. Then you need to look somewhere else.
That's where I'm at on that. I ain't on no criminal stuff. You know, I'm talking about co-signers.
I apologize for that word then. That was like a risk.
Yeah.
I took a risk with that word. What I meant was, okay, like Lucinda started to say, you're relying on somebody else and you potentially, whether you want to or not, risk putting them out there, okay,
because if
you're anything like me, you know, that's something that I would try to do, okay, if I wanted to get somewhere, you know, tomorrow, you know, instead of going through the process of taking the time it takes. I apologize for using that word straight out. Okay, that was the wrong word. What I should have said was that's kind of like, you know, survival, you know, kind of getting where you want to be tomorrow instead of going through the process. Are we straight on that, Jermaine?
Yeah, we good. We good.
Okay,
we good.
Okay. I apologize for that word.
Yeah, we good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
And that's where we have to go back to. How can we change people's way of thinking? Because everybody makes mistakes. There ain't one person out here that hasn't, you know, done something wrong. You know, whether they got caught or they didn't get caught, you know. And
everybody in the United States that got caught for doing something.
Right on, let's go.
Right.
Half of them ain't got caught, but the other half got caught.
Yep.
And all you got to do is take your caught part and suffer the consequences of what you did. But when you go in, you come out.
Right.
And give them some positive thinking. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
You let them know they don't want to go that way.
Right.
This is wrong. So you got to talk to the children. You got to let the kids know what you've been through.
That's right.
You let them know, say, hey, it ain't the same. It might be 1999. It's 2011.
Okay, kids are a product of their environment. And always turn a negative into a positive. And that's what we got to teach our kids. We grew up in the hood.
Exactly. We all grew up in hoods. I grew up in the project. I grew up in the country. You see what I'm saying? I was born and raised in the country, but I grew up in the project. And I ain't ashamed to tell nobody. That's why I tell people what I do. I take my own fault for it.
Yeah, we got to show responsibility for our actions.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got
right
to
on, guys.
Yeah, you got to show responsibility for your action.
Right on, Jermaine.
That's all the time.
Yeah.
Because if you don't take your own action, you leave it for your buddy or your friend or your cousin or your grandma or your auntie, anybody. Take that fall for you. You done that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we used to do a lot of stuff. I know I did. I ain't going to speak for everybody else. I had attempt murders. I had burglary. I had robberies. I had a whole lot of shit. Auto theft. This Esco talk. I done been to jail. And not once have I ever told on the next man that was with me.
Come on. Come on.
I'm 42 years old. I'll be 43.
Okay.
I'm not finna turn my back and let another person know what the hell I'm doing. You know, if I
nah,
die,
because,
I'm gonna do the time.
And don't snitch, because snitches become bitches and get stitches straight
in
up.
Fact, what do you think they're doing right now?
Yeah,
snitching on
nowadays,
each other.
These young kids are not like that. They'll tell on their mama.
Exactly. I done did 10 years for a crime that I done, but I was there. You see what I'm saying? So was somebody else. But I don't give a fuck who was there. That's why I said it's over. You know what I mean?
Let's go.
It's done.
Word is born on everything I love, like, for real. Like, whatever you see, you just keep it moving. You don't say nothing. You don't even comment on it. Just keep it moving.
Okay.
But
you heard
then
that
come
Richard Pryor movie? You heard the Richard Pryor movie?
R.I.P.
I see no
Richard
evil.
Pryor.
I see no evil.
Evil.
I hear no evil.
You know evil.
None
yep.
of that. That's all you got to do.
But then you get to the other problems, like little kids getting murdered, where you see
exactly.
it and you, like, that's when you know you got
to
step up. Because little kids,
why is they getting murdered?
Because the little gangbangers in the hood get trigger happy. They feel a gun for the first time and think they got to go outside and just run with the gun. No. No, no, no.
Well, nowadays they're initiation.
That ain't why they really
you got to go
killed.
Kill somebody to join our gang.
Exactly.
So they got little 10-year-olds out there with guns shooting people.
10-year-olds? You better talk about 7- and 8-year-olds, Lucinda. You talk
yeah,
about Newark hood? Yep, 7- and 8-year-olds holding guns, getting trigger happy. Daddy hands him a gun, talk about, make me, you my son, show me you're a man at 7 and 8 years old. What the hell kind of shit is that?
That's when mama step up. You see
yeah,
what I'm
well,
saying?
Guess what? When mama a crackhead
mama
on the block.
I don't... Okay,
when
mama
a crackhead on the block. When mama a crackhead on the block. Okay, daddy's going to prison.
You ain't got no option. You ain't got no option.
Thank you. He ain't got no option. He got to learn the streets.
He got to learn the streets because his mama's a junkie. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. Or daddy's a junkie, or daddy's an alcoholic, or daddy's a fucking killer, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You got to not follow your daddy and
so
normal
that's
footsteps.
The kind of person I'm talking about who grows up not knowing what's right, because all
right.
he's taught is wrong. And he's the one that is going to, you know, going to get in trouble and trouble and trouble and end up in prison. And where does
exactly.
he get the chance to know and learn what's right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have such a moral and values breakdown, if you will, because just like you said, Lucinda, you know, we have more and more of these families that are growing up in a one parent household. You know, heaven forbid it be just the mother because, you know, the father rolled out like mine did. And I'll tell my story a little later if we still have time. But like mine rolled out when I was about 3 years old. And my mother tried to raise me. Well, she had to go to work to raise the other eight of us, too. So, you know, what happens is we get into a little bit of a survival mode like I was talking about earlier. And that is what I meant there, Jermaine, you know, about being in a survival mode. And we really don't have anyone to help us make these, you know, adult decisions. You know, we're making adult decisions when we're really young, whether it be, you know, lining up with some gang, some people on the block or in the projects, you know, or whatever, you know, and we go that way because it's just easy and it feels good and we feel accepted and we feel wanted, we feel loved, you know, by these people who ain't doing nothing but, you know, putting a hurt on somebody. And that's just it's a learned behavior. I think Lisa mentioned it earlier, about, you know, being a product of our environment, you know, and then if, you know, our father, you know, would ever come back into our life, and I'm seeing some of this firsthand in Gary and some other situations over there, East Chicago, you know, where the father comes back, and he really is no good for the family in his current state, and the things that he's doing, then his kids see that, and, you know, they look up to that. And kids
don't follow his footsteps.
Right, and they become that, you know, because that's what daddy's doing. It must be okay.
It got to be okay.
You know,
if mama and lose right along with daddy, shit, he's gonna say, "Well, hell, my parents do this, so why come I can't do it?"
Right.
You
need to reach.
You gotta have somebody else step up. I don't care if it's your sister, brother, cousin. Nieces, aunties, uncles, whatever. You always got to have a favorite auntie and a favorite uncle. I don't care what you say. I've been born. I'm born and raised in the country.
That's true.
You definitely got to have that in the black community. Everybody got a favorite auntie and a favorite uncle.
All the time.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. My favorite auntie, she worked for nothing but money, and it wasn't no money back then. But I look at her right now today. My daddy didn't go. My daddy worked for nothing. I'm talking about I was plucking cotton. I was raised up in the country. I was plucking cotton. I was hanging tobacco. You see what I'm saying? And this is how I learned about life. My daddy, he probably played on my mama or he did something behind my mama's back. But every time he thought about doing it wrong and she caught him and he raised his hand, oh, that was a no-no. You see what I'm saying? He won't hit my mama, not in front of the kid. And when I raised up and growed up, my grandma said, "Did your daddy ever hit your mama?" But he was a whore. You see what I'm saying? I didn't follow in his footsteps. I didn't never hit a woman a day in my life. Still don't hit no woman. I walk away from him. But I got in a gang. This what fucked me up. I followed the wrong fucking path. My daddy worked all his fucking life. When I was turned 8 years old, I was in the country. From 8 to 9 to 10, I came to Gary, Indiana.
Come on, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I came to Indiana. See, I ain't no Southern boy. I'm an Indiana motherfucker. That's how I call it. But I'm a country-ass nigga. I'm a country black man. Excuse me, Lisa and what's your name? What's up, girl?
Lucinda.
These names ain't no racial joke. You see what I'm saying? My girl, my woman right now today is y'all color. You see what I'm saying? I don't discriminate. But I learned out of doing all my time. I've been doing time since I was 12. I'm talking about in and out of penitentiary, in and out of jail, in and out of jail. I done turned my age. I seen a girl in the Kimbrough. I ain't ashamed to tell it. I'm out now. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, I seen her. I went to her job and got hurt. I didn't know she was there. A good girl. You know, and I tell her just like I'm telling y'all. It's your mistake that got you there.
Come on.
You don't follow everybody. I don't care what the next person do or the next man or the next woman. I don't care what they do. All you got to do is see no evil, fear no evil, and walk away. That's like you ain't seen nothing. That's life. But when you sit in front of a crime, do you know what that make you? That make you an accessory. You feel me?
Come on.
Y'all feeling me? Because accessory to a crime, you ain't got to be doing nothing but standing right outside in the front yard on the sidewalk. When the police pull up and wherever you standing, you going with the person that's in the house or the person that pulled the trigger or the person in the club or whatever. Wherever you were, you going to jail just for being there.
Yeah.
They go for black, white, green, black. It don't make no difference. You going to jail because you was there. That's how Indiana rolled. And I tell anybody, but see, I ain't no shame in my game. I'm a temp murderer, a burglary, all that. I did all that, but that's over. What I want to do right now is Gary Tyne came to me and gave me an opportunity to change. You see what I'm saying? He wanted me to get on this talk show or whatever this is, but I'm a man of man. It's the Gary Tyne Show. And we're going to do it live because I know we can.
You know we can.
It's a lot of more people in these jails that can do it. But see, it's no such word, I can't. I can't. Where y'all get that from? Who made that word? You can do anything you set your mind to. You can do it. And I love messing with houses. I love helping other people. I'm a leader. I'm not no follower, but I follow Jerry's footsteps, Roger's footsteps. I follow my old boss's footsteps. You see what I'm saying? And the things he's doing, yeah, I can do it. I rehab houses. I want houses for the kids where they won't go. If they do go, they have somewhere to go when they come out of there. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we're going to build a community of Gary, Indiana. We're going to work ourselves because we can do this. We're going to make houses. We're going to make apartments. We're going to have where they can get out, come there. You don't find a home, we got some places for you to work. We got some of this over here. We building houses. And there's a lot of people in the penitentiary right now to date that know a whole lot of construction, a whole lot of plumbing, a whole lot of wiring. But you know they don't get the chance to do it.
Right.
Why?
Because exactly.
They're convicted felons. See what I'm saying? They're convicted felons. And I don't care what nobody else say. I heard this when I was bitten in 1980. When I went to penitentiary in 1980 and come out in 89, you know what they told us? They didn't want us to have a job. They said, hey, you should have kept them locked up. People hated to see us. You go to McDonald's or Burger King or a grocery store, they wasn't going to hire you. You know why they wasn't going to hire you? Because you was a convicted felon. But that's a lie. That's a lie. All you got to do is keep trying. Keep going. Keep going.
Come on, brother.
You got to say you can do it. But if you can't do it, Who else gonna do it? They damn sure ain't gonna help you. They ain't gonna give you that pattern. All you got to do is keep pushing. Just keep pushing. I can do it. I can do it. Gary Time taught me this. I can do it. I can search out here all day long.
Come on.
I get a job. I don't care if it's shoveling dog boo boo or, you know, you got a job. Rake leaves, cut grass, shovel snow. Don't you know the kids right now today will not pick up a shovel or take their mama's garbage or clean the house? That shit right there, we got ass whooped as fuck.
They too busy to play with the Xbox, brother.
I can vouch for that.
You understand what I'm saying? Linda and what's the other one's name?
Rob.
Lisa. What's her name?
Rob and Lucinda.
I'm saying Lucinda. Is that what you say, Ross?
It's Lisa.
Lisa, this is the truth. So don't feel like I'm just talking about my own and talking about your. We all got whoopings. Your mama told you don't come out that bedroom. That bedroom better, your bed better be fixed, and you better went in that bathroom, brush your teeth, wash your hands, and come out of there.
Man, Grandma said, go pick the switch off the tree and don't bring a small one back.
Exactly. See, that's cunt.
And be in the house. And be in the house when the street lights come on. Don't even make me come out
like
the street to call you.
I like that in you. See, you sudden too. I see that now.
No, that's Sicily. That was all Sicily. That was my Italian grandmother. She don't play.
Well, yeah, my grandma dead and gone. She didn't play. My mama's daddy. My mama's grandma gone. My mama's daddy gone. My daddy's mama gone. And my daddy's daddy gone. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where was I?
My whole family gone. My whole white family gone. My mother, my father, my grandmother, everybody gone. So I know what you're feeling.
I know how I feel. See, I got my own place. See, this is what Roger taught me. Roger, I was in Kimbrough. I'll be honest. I was working before I even met Roger.
He was a trustee over there.
I was a trustee, but I was still working. I worked cooler in a pride before Roger came. I worked 7 days. I might work 6 days. But every time I came through that door, whatever the damn inmates didn't do, I had to do it. I worked. Before I can get in the shower, they calling my name. They say, Esco. Before the first floor. Esco, second floor.
Get real now. You wanted to do that.
No, this was life. This is the way I was brought up. You see what I'm saying? Right. And I asked him. I asked him at the Kimbrough Center. I said, hell, I come up here and work 11 to 6. And I guarantee your floors will be buffed, your bathrooms will be clean. I'm talking about on both sides. First floor, second floor. I told him that.
And then we come out the pod and slip on that shit. No lie.
No, I wouldn't do that. I swear to God on my mom and daddy, I wouldn't do that.
I'm trying to tell you from experience. Us females walked out the pod one day, D pod, and we slipped straight on the bus. Straight on it.
Hey, listen to me, baby girl. That's Lake County. This Lake County Community Correction. See what I'm saying? It's two different parts. You feel what I'm saying there?
No, I was talking about Essex County. My bad. Essex County, Union County, Morris County, all three. Jersey.
Atlanta.
But see, when they fell, they was in the wrong.
No, not in Atlanta and
I'm
Jersey.
I'm going to ask you a question, young lady. Now, when they mopped that floor, buffed that floor, waxed that floor. I'm asking you, and you be honest with me. I don't want to tell you because I know you got to know. I did this. When they fail, when they fail or whatever happened to them, what was standing, what was out there? I'm asking
wet
you.
Wet floor signs.
Huh?
Wet floor signs.
A wet floor sign.
But they called us out for meals. So we got to walk. We can't not come out of our cell and not go eat.
Okay. Now,
that was breakfast at 6 a.m.
I'm going to correct you on this. Listen, this is God true, too.
Now, I'm talking about Jersey.
Okay, Jersey.
I don't know what you got
this
down there.
This for all counties. You never do a damn floor. Excuse me for cussing. You never do a floor until lockdown.
We was all locked down. It was nighttime. They come out and do the floors at nighttime. But I guess our pod got to the last one.
How you gonna get a meal?
Because we got called out. Breakfast trays up. Let's go.
Okay, breakfast tray.
You know what?
He shouldn't even did that. That's their fault. Not their
place. Yeah, well,
they was changing
shifts. They didn't give a shit. They just wanted us to come and eat so we can get back in the dorm and the pod. Nah, you got to understand, Jersey might be different than Lake County, but Essex County,
okay,
they don't care. They're just bringing us out.
What time y'all locked down?
Oh, our lockdown is 10 o'clock at night.
10 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Hear me out. You on what side of the dorm? West, east, south, what?
We all in the female dorm. There was only one pod
south?
That was females.
Okay, and this happened with the females?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
It happened with the females. You locked down at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
When y'all eat breakfast? When you eat breakfast?
We get woke up at 5 and we got to come out of our pod at 6.
Okay. Understand me. How long, how big, how many inches, how many foot was your hallway? Was it short, long, what? I mean,
it was a whole pod.
Just give me a figure of speech.
It was a whole three.
I know what a pod is.
Three floors of cell, D block.
On D block. Okay, now you got to understand this. 1, 2, 3. You got 3 floors.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock, y'all locked down. It don't
mm-hmm.
take nothing but, I'm going to be honest with you, it don't take another 2 hours on the floor.
Okay, but guess what? They wouldn't let none of the females work their own pod. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Things are different up north. So we had to wait for the men to come up and do our pod. And they would get to us at like 4, maybe 4:30 in the morning. So when we came out, we stepped straight and fell. And, I mean, it wasn't just me. It wasn't just like 2 people, 3 people. It was like the pod. And it wasn't just in one day. It was like every day somebody was falling because they were slipping because, you know, he had the sneakers on. And we just hit the ground running to go get eat. And I don't even eat like that. Everybody will tell you I don't eat. So I was just like,
But that's kind of delirious to me. Lake County, I mean, where I was in Wheelwright, Kentucky, traveling on. I was in Michigan City. That's the real hellhole. I was in Branchville. Miami. You see what I'm saying? I was in these penitentiaries. And whatever you had to do, when they called that last count, ain't no more moving if the floors had to be done. That means motherfuckers can't go to the bathroom, nothing. All that shit shut down till the floors get done.
Okay, well, we all had bathrooms in our cells, so what are you talking about? Nobody could shower.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all had bathrooms in y'all thing, but you know how they do it? They call extra duty or they call late night cleanups and shit like that. So your cell gonna stay open, right? Right or wrong?
No, their cells were not allowed open. They got slammed behind them.
I'm saying. But if you had some extra, if you had detail and all that shit, your cell was going to be open. Your cell and nobody else. You see what I'm saying?
No. No, I'm trying to tell you, in Essex County, their cells weren't open. If you got late night detail, your cell wasn't open. They open it, they let you out, and they close it back up behind you.
Oh, but see, they didn't do that. They didn't do that here. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm trying to tell you things are different around the country, like around nationwide. Everything is different.
You're right, because Wheelwright was a hell of a lot different. I'm talking about you can order fucking commissary 6 days a week. But these motherfuckers feed you bologna. They feed you peanut butter and jelly. They feed you a boiled egg, hard-ass cornbread every day for breakfast.
You get your share of that, huh?
No. You don't get your share. You paying fast share, but you don't get your
share. Yeah, word. Those bologna and steak cheese sandwiches that they throw in a bag. Oh,
we
my
didn't
God.
Have cheese. That's the point. We didn't have cheese. I prefer to have a cheese sandwich than a fucking peanut butter and jelly. Or
no, not that cheese. Not that cheese. They was talking about it on the one show I was on the other night, talking about you could wipe your ass with that cheese. Like, that shit was crazy.
I'm
it's state
about
cheese,
American.
The government welfare cheese that you get. Like, that's,
right.
that's what they bring
that's
into
right.
the jail.
No, they don't send that. We ain't never had that. We ain't never had that. Mr. Palmer.
Well, welcome to Essex County. Welcome to Newark.
Hold on for a minute. Mr. Palmer.
I think he might have checked out.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Right. His line did. See, I'm going to burn my phone up. I got minutes. I got unlimited. So I'm going to burn it up, and I'm talking with these women, and I mean what I say. Roger came and made a big difference to me. I told him, when I got out, I'm going to stick with him. Ask him where I've been. Ask him where I've been. Mr.
Yeah.
I ain't changed my mind. I got my own place. I got my own place. I'm in my own house right now. I'm in my place.
All right. That's cool. He's doing it. He's doing it. Because we definitely
keep it up.
Right. We definitely appreciate everything. We definitely appreciate that, Devin.
My mama did. My daddy did.
Let's go.
My grandma did. Granddad did.
Yeah, we want to definitely thank you for being on the show tonight, man. You feel me? And I'm definitely glad that everybody been getting things off their chest about ex-felon and knowing that
you can make and
do what you need to do in life, no matter if you ex-felon or not. You know, it's things out there you can do to make a difference in your life and somebody else's life. And we just want to give out your website again for people can contact you if they need to contact you. And then we're going to turn the mic back over to my missus after you give your website out with the contact information, and then she can go ahead and update people on any messages she needs to give out to the viewers and what have you. And then we're going to call it a night. And thanking everybody for being on the show. Go ahead, Roger.
I appreciate you giving us a chance to shout out. And Lisa, thank you, you know, for calling in on this. This has really blessed me. Esco, you're the man.
Man, I told you. I ain't going nowhere. I'm Gary Time Finest, Jack.
All right, come on.
I've been there, done that, and we're going to make it. We can do it. I know we can make it. I know we can make it. I know we can. You understand?
Yeah.
So we wrap people
up now.
Make it.
Esco, we're wrapping up for tonight. We gotta wrap it up here now. That's what the man's
saying. What's the lady's name?
One's named Lisa. One's name's Lucinda. We're gonna wrap up here. I'm gonna give a little shout out for the website, And then and then we're going to hang up here, and I'll give you a call in a minute, Esco.
Right.
Go ahead and hang up then if you want to. All right, brother.
Good night. Thank you for being on the show.
Hi, Lucinda and Lisa.
Yep.
Lisa. Y'all be good.
All right, brother. Esco, I'm going to call you in a minute. All right?
All right.
Peace, man. All right, everybody, again, thanks again for letting me be part of this. If y'all want to reach out to me, you can catch me at www.garystime.com. That's garystime.com. If you want to shoot me an email, I'd sure love to hear, what your struggles are, what your challenges are, and how we might be able to, make this movement stretch out a little bit. You know, it started here in Gary, Indiana, but don't mean it has to stay here. You can shoot me an email at roger@garystime.com. That's roger@garystime.com. roger@garystime.com. Thanks again, Rob. Thanks again, Lucinda.
You're welcome. Thank you. Keep up the work. I wanted to mention, too, maybe you could, before we get off the air, comment on them. There's a couple of other programs that can help ex-felons to get jobs, and one of them is the Work Opportunity Tax Credit, and that's for business owners that if they hire an ex-felon, they can get a tax credit on their a tax credit. And then the other program is the Federal Bonding Program, where ex-felons can get bonded for free and then be able to get hired. Do you know much about those programs?
No, I do not, and I would love to hear more about them. I was just trying to write it down here as you were talking, Lucinda. If you had a minute to shoot me some of that information, that would be real cool. I can pass it on. I'll be going back into
the information. The Work Opportunity Tax Credit is for small business owners, and they can get up to $9,000 for a 2-year period, but they can get a tax deduction of $1,200 for a summer youth hire, $2,400 for each new adult that they hire, and that's per each person that they hire. So those are big, pretty big tax breaks for companies that are willing to hire people. So that's one thing that small businesses could take advantage of. And then
I'll
send you some information about these. And then the other one is a federal bonding program where, you get licensed and bonded. But this, they can go get bonded for free. I'm just learning more about these, I'm just learning more about them myself. But I did put the information on my new brochure that I made for ex-offenders job resources. So I put the websites and phone numbers and stuff for these two companies.
Awesome. Yeah, shoot me as much as you got. I mean, I can do as much as I can do, but I try to, anything new or, anything I don't know, I definitely don't know at all. I'm kind of green at this, just having the experience. Next time I call in, I can share a little bit about my past. I know I was supposed to do that earlier, and I apologize I didn't get to that. But yeah, any information that you got that can help move this thing along is great information, because we can give that to other people as an incentive, to pick up a little program themselves, for sure.
Right.
So yeah,
we're all learning as we begin our what we're doing here, and it's everything we can learn from somebody we pick up and pass on, and we're certainly willing to try to help you as much as we can with any information that we come across.
Awesome. I appreciate that. And just real quick, Jermaine's a good man. He was down for a long time. He's coming out, full steam. Esco, he loves to talk. He's a real dear guy at heart. He's a hard worker. These are good guys. We need to give him a chance. Give me a shout, shoot me an email, hit my website or whatever, and if I can help anybody out there, get to where they want to be, that's where I'm at today. So, again, you guys, thank you, very much. I am just going to hang on here and listen to what you have to say before I hang up. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And again, they can contact you at itsgarystime.com or just garystime.com.
Garystime.com, yep.
That's your website. And then you have an email?
That's R-O-G-E-R, that's Roger, at garystime.com, yep.
Okay, and there you go. Get a hold of Roger, and especially if you're in the Gary, Indiana area, he's looking for lots of help and support and whatever you can offer, I'm sure he'd appreciate. I'd just like to remind everybody. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'll throw out a quick phone number. It's 877-GARY-911. That's an 800 number. It's a toll-free, 877-GARY-911.
All right. Thank you, Roger, for coming on. And, yeah, we definitely would like to hear the rest of your story. Sometime we'll have to have you back on the show again and have another ex-felon get together.
It'll be my pleasure. We can do a follow-up. A couple success stories is what we're talking about.
Definitely.
And
keep putting your pictures on our website, you know, with things that you're doing with the young men. And definitely when you get the women's program going, let us know as well so we can let everybody else know.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. I appreciate that, you guys.
Okay.
I'm going to let you alone now.
Great.
I'm going to have some dinner and time to eat and get some sleep.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Guys.
And just want to remind everybody to get online and get the new book, Never Hit a Woman. You can get all the information on our website at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, as well as our last book, The Streets Don't Love You Back. They're both out. You can get the ebook, you can get the paperback. There's various websites that you can get them at, but all the information is on our website. You can get all that information just at one place. I want you to join us every Wednesday night. Next week we have an author, Maureen Hughes, and she wrote the book about her life being working for one of the ladies that was involved in a mob or something. So it's going to be a great show next week. Join us at 8:30 Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time. And I'm going to turn the mic back over to Rob for a minute and see if there's anything else he wants to talk about before we get off air.
I just want to say thank you very much, Roger, for coming on the show. And thank you so much for, bringing two of your guys on the show tonight. And The Streets Don't Love You Back movement is definitely glad that you chose to get involved with that kind of giving back to the community, and we'll be, working with you as well. And we just want to thank you for what you're doing there in Gary, Indiana, as well.
My pleasure, brother. Absolutely my pleasure. I wake up in the morning and this is what I think about. And obviously, I go to sleep at night. This is what I think about. So I know. This is why I'm here. Thanks again, you guys.
No doubt. And we would just like to thank all our viewers tonight and just thanking everyone who follows our movement. And we asking parents, youth, we asking coaches, we asking mentors, and big sisters, big brothers to get involved with the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. And we have a lot of different groups on our movement page as well that you can join, become a part of, and let's just continue, putting the message out there to youth and adults as well, and try to make change when change is needed. And don't forget to get The Streets Don't Love You Back. And don't forget to get my new book, Never Hit a Woman. And my missus' book is coming real soon as well. So definitely don't forget that under pressure. Definitely going to be in the house real soon. So we thank y'all once again. And we pass it for the last words to the missus.
We just want to wish you all a great week. Stay positive. Help someone along the way. And tonight we're going to go out with a song, The Streets Don't Love You Back Remix. We'll see you next week.
All right. See you next week.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in with the Streets Don't Love You Back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that. Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our community, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that. But once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby. So join the movement. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. Come on, come on. Track here, it's a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway, Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing. You feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a bit. Got he caught up in moving shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home when pressure's on. We all alone when we born, we all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together, we can make it if we try. Can probably fake it if you cry, but I hate it when you whine. And if all is true with us, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time, but maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know, cause I feel like I'm on bus. I'm overstuffed with propaganda, this is slander and lies. Try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise. Cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body. You see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead. Jump out of bed, paranoid. I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead. Cause I just can't move. Freestyle life off the head. Cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seeds. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, so you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
and
on,
it's all be checking back in with you. Like I said, it's that traffic knowledge. Then you young brothers and sisters understand that, hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LG. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Good stuff.